Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to All Things Policy. We learned from a recent story that Afghanistan's National Security Advisor, Hamdullah Mohib, had come to India and had talked about the possibility of Indian peacekeeping troops being deployed in Afghanistan. Would this be a wise thing for India to do? To discuss this, I have with me Pranay and Manoj. I want to start with you, Pranay. Very simply, is it a good idea to have Indian boots on the ground?
Not now. I don't think sending Indian troops is going to serve the final objective that we want. And our Indian interest finally is... So we should take a step back, right, for answering this question. What will this achieve? So if our current interest is that finally the ANDSF and the Islamic Republic of Afghanistan gains a monopoly over the legitimate use of physical force, will sending a division level troop or brigade level group help in achieving that? Maybe for the short term it might help, but in the long term, unless the capacity of the ANDSF itself is built, it is not going to help achieve that. So I think this move is not going to help us there. But that doesn't mean India can't do much in the security domain. We have argued that India can do a lot in order to help ANDSF gain the monopoly over the legitimate use of physical.
So Pranay, just sort of taking a step further back from what you said, how would one define what would be India's broader interests? What would be the political objective that we'd want to achieve in Afghanistan? We know that there is a deal in the offing. I mean, as we're recording, as we're having this conversation, we know that there is a deal in the offing between the Americans and Taliban. There's been much made about the fact that there would be an Indian presence during that particular signing. And that's much has been made about the fact that, oh, this is one of those rare times where an Indian official presence is there dealing with the Taliban. And we know that once the Americans, if not necessarily exit entirely, exit by and large, there would be different changes in Afghanistan in terms of however the government of Afghanistan might control territory, use of force. The Taliban will be a crucial factor. It will be a strong presence. What are the challenges that throws for us? Because that's when we decide, right? What do we do? So how would one conceptualize that?
Okay. So first of all, let's understand the context, right? So yeah, US is going to reduce its troops. There is very little stamina for US to continue in Afghanistan. Okay, so there is more or less concurrence across the sections in the US polity that this war is done, we should reduce. So this means US needs to reduce its presence there. That's why they are doing a deal with Taliban. Sirajuddin Haqqani is writing op-eds for New York Times and all that, right? So once that, we've already crossed that stage. What does this mean? This means Pakistan is definitely going to have a much larger say.
Yeah.
Now, even because a large section of the Taliban is controlled by Pakistan, is in Pakistan. So now, also this Taliban itself, there are six factions within it. One is a Qatar faction, which the Indian government is going to talk to, yeah, is the news today in Indian Express, right? So there are these six factions, but the larger and the most powerful faction is still the Haqqani faction, which is really bad news for India because these are the people who have used Afghanistan territory to fuel terrorism into India in the past as well. Okay, so we are heading towards that situation where willy-nilly we'll end up with Pakistan having a larger control, extending its control over parts of Afghanistan, which is not good for India. So we have to see from that perspective that we need to thwart Pakistan's usage of Afghans and usage of the territory against India. Okay, so that's why we have been arguing that India's interest is this: help build a strong, stable Afghanistan state which can resist Pakistan's control over there.
So but just sort of playing devil's advocate here, right? If the threat is that, you know, folks like the Haqqanis gain an upper hand in whatever the negotiation is, and it's not like once the Americans withdraw, I mean, whatever their terms of withdrawal may be, there's talk that this will be a year-long assessment process while you're reducing troops, and there'd be some sort of a ceasefire in the interim period, although they're not calling it a ceasefire also. Isn't it good for India that these guys are engaged fighting with each other in Afghanistan as opposed to being free and then exporting the Haqqanis and those kinds of guys, having the freedom and the capacity as opposed to competing with the Afghan state, which is what they were doing so far.
But that's not going to happen anymore now.
That's my thing. Stability in that sense, because it's not like, you know, the day this deal is signed or subsequently also, that you're going to necessarily see a strong state emerge, because there's also lots of friction within the different guys who are ruling Afghanistan.
Right. So that will continue. See, what is happening is, it's not as if the ceasefire will be for a year or so. Like, the currently they just agreed for a reduction in violence agreement for 7 days before this US and Taliban agreement gets resolved. After that, at some point of time, there will be an intra-Afghan dialogue.
Yeah.
But having said that, so Taliban is in the government by officially, formally, informally, whatever, right? And once they are in the government, Pakistan will use them whatever purpose it deems fit. At least some factions of the Taliban. So we are heading towards that.
Okay, now let me also be devil's advocate.
Two devils.
both, you know. So the Taliban is also its own creature, while obviously it's dependent on Pakistan. Wouldn't the Taliban have some interest in reaching out to India and maybe cutting a deal with India? We won't allow our territory to be used against you, something like that.
So that's where we have to, that's why the six factions become important. There might be some factions which might be thinking on these grounds, but not the Haqqani group, right? Like, you have some groups which are not at the margin, right? These are the real extremists in the extremists category. So they are not going to be talking to you. So in fact, India's role and influence is going to decrease. There is going to be a strong pressure from Pakistan to say that close the Jalalabad consulate, remove the Indian presence. But there will also be some Taliban factions which will, once in the government, will say that, hey, you know, we still need a Salma dam, we still need a hospital, right? So it's for us to at least talk to those factions and probably continue the good work that we are doing and which a lot of Afghans acknowledge.
So would you say that the fact that so far we've not, I mean, this is not a new thing, that the Americans have been talking to the Taliban for a very long time now. Yet, at least officially, India has said we will not engage with them. Was that a mistake in hindsight?
I think India didn't talk overtly, but I'm sure there must be covert talks with the Taliban, right? But what I would say is, again, the thing depends on which faction of the Taliban you're talking to. Is it the most powerful faction? I'm sure we have been talking to Taliban factions which are weaker, which exist in, it's not like one entity, right, which has really strong command and control. So that has happened, and India's stance has not, it's not been that we will not talk to the Taliban. It's been that you will support an Afghan-owned, Afghan-run process. So now, given that the Afghan government is also will be involved, then it's okay to talk. So I think we are consistent in that approach.
Let's say that India does decide to support the Afghan forces. What would that support entail? How would India exactly go about it?
Yeah. So the way I conceptualize this is, like, any of India's military options that we look at, we need to first identify the challenges which are faced by the ANDSF currently, right? And how can India then pitch in to solve some of those challenges? Some of them we can't do much. Some of them we might be seeing at the wrong challenge, right? So for that, there was a study conducted by the Combined Services Transition Command of Afghanistan. So it's a U.S. led multinational organization which is charged with the planning, programming and implementing reform of the ANDSF. Now, ANDSF includes the police, their special forces, their army, air force, etc. Right? So they identified basically 10 challenges which are faced by the ANDSF. And counterintuitively, like, the most generally you would think, what would be the biggest problem? They don't have money. Right? That's what we would feel. But the top 10 challenges actually says that the biggest challenges are related to the decline in the quality of human resources and not so much about shortage of financial funds. Because financial funds are coming from a lot of countries, which, and they might still continue even if the US reduces its troop levels, right? So from there, some of the challenges which are of note for India, right? The topmost challenge that ANDSF faces, that it lacks strong, effective leadership across their formations. Second, it lacks standardized training at the national and regional level. Now, this is clearly a subject where India has an expertise and a comparative advantage, right? And I'm sure India will be able to do this much better than US can. right? Given that we would be more at comfort with Afghanistan, and even they might even understand the language because some of them might know Urdu and things like that, right? So that helps. So conducting training courses on Afghan soil and even in India could address some of this problem. So training on Afghan soil means that we send special units to do this training, which are really small numbers. So they won't be in formations which can be specifically targeted. So that can happen. Next, the study highlighted that, you know, over half of ANDSF casualties result from checkpoint attacks, and they happen when the Taliban are engaged in resupplying. Okay, so now our own counterinsurgency experience in J&K in the northeast, it gives us a good idea of what it takes at a checkpoint, what are the attacks that can happen, etc. Right, so India can effectively train the Afghan national police to foil such attacks. Right, so that is one. Another thing that the report found out was that the ANDSF physical infrastructure facilities are routinely in disrepair. They impact the morale, health, and safety of ANDSF. Again, a low-hanging fruit for India. Right, so an inspection team which is drawn from our logistic and support services, the ASC, electronic and mechanical engineers, etc., can examine the status and provide some of the solutions to these problems. And so overall, if you see, the budget itself might not be the biggest issue. Generally, when we think of these, we say, oh, India does not have money, what to do, right? But that might not be the problem. So I looked at some stats. Overall, US has been spending $3.6 billion every year for the last 19 years on average. And that might still continue. For them, it is not a big sum. So that money will still be there, but problem they are facing is they have the budget, no one is able to utilize it. Yeah. So budgets are underutilized because of all the HR problems that I told you. And those are some things which India can do, right? So the bigger problem is insufficient processes to plan and execute budgets where we can pitch in.
Of course, once the Americans withdraw, the Afghan forces are basically going to lose an entire air force, right? And India is not going to replace that. How much of an impact will that make?
So AAF still has a few, it's a very small unit, but they still have
rotary wing aircraft.
Yeah, and even India gave Mi-17s recently, right? So that will still continue. It will take some time for them to build. But again, US might be able to give these, fund some of these equipments, etc. as well. But the real challenge is again in training, etc., building that disciplined force where India can pitch in.
Okay. Now, finally, I want to ask you, India has generally had a very good image in Afghanistan over the last several years. But in the last 1 year, we've had Jammu and Kashmir being bifurcated into two union territories. We've had NRC and CAA. Mm. Do these impact the image of India in Afghanistan?
Actually, it does. And it also does, even when you look at Indian military troops, it plays out in two ways, right? One, if you see the CAA, for an Afghanistan person, it might seem as being anti-Afghanistan as well, right? Because you're saying that only Hindu Afghan refugees are given some different treatment compared to. So that is one smaller thing. But the bigger thing is now look at it from a Pakistan military jihadi complex angle, right? Now, if you have even a brigade level force there, they can easily project, you know, this is the Hindu army on Muslim land. Even small attacks, etc., they will be trying to engineer those so as to, you know, project this idea. So we have actually tied ourselves up because of the things that we've done domestically with respect to Afghanistan on this specific question of sending Indian troops. It will be seen much more negatively now than it could have been in a decade a year ago. By the way, it was a bold idea. It has been told a lot of times before, and obviously people find many reasons to just shut down a bold idea, and everyone likes status quo. But at that point, the idea was that why don't you send the Indian troops there so that you can fight the war with Pakistan there, divert their energies on the Durand line instead of them doing things on our side of the border. So there are very good arguments in support of the Indian troops being there. But now the context has changed significantly with the US moving out and Pakistan gaining a bigger strength and what we've done domestically. So on those grounds, I think it might not be the best idea now. But having said that, we must do things to support the military, because we can't use our previous approach where India will do lots of things on the economics front and let the military be taken by the US. That's not going to work now, because US is also clearly at least having some reservations on that count.
Manoj, I want to ask you finally, does China have any similar interests? I mean, we hear of Chinese troops in the Wakhan corridor.
It's somewhere akin to the idea that, you know, keep the conflict there, keep the fighting there, don't let it cross into your borders. And their interests are sort of very similar in that context, that they want to, but I'm not sure that they will be at all willing to pledge boots on the ground. I don't think the Chinese would be willing to do that at all. They would want the Pakistanis to do that heavy lifting, just like how Pranay calls the Pakistani army Saudi Arabia's armed forces. The Chinese would like to see it very similar in Afghanistan, that, you know, let them do whatever they need to do. They're also looking at capacity building, right? They're looking at military training. They're looking at, they've worked with India on two things. One was diplomats training, which was signed after the Wuhan meeting. And secondly, in the last week or so, 10 days or so, they've done a joint India-China police training for Afghan officers. So they are working on all these sorts of aspects. Apart from that, they're sort of even in between this Pakistan-Afghanistan fight. Over the last couple of years, they've established a trilateral foreign ministers dialogue. And the last one, when they met, I think it was October last year, they agreed to a whole bunch of things, including specific trade areas, specific investment areas, opening certain borders and transit points between Afghanistan and Pakistan, which the Chinese would monitor for them. So they will sort of place themselves in those sorts of positions where you can contain. But I don't see the Chinese being willing to put boots on the ground in any which way. They see their influence can be extended by leveraging Pakistan. But the challenge there is then you have to make sure that Pakistan stays in line.
Principal agent problem.
Yeah, that's the problem that they will then encounter, which I think they're already encountering. But I think until they keep Xinjiang safe, they'd be good. Until they can keep Pakistan interested enough to protect BRI investments, they'll be okay with it. The challenge is that I don't think that you can do that segregation for a long period of time. Or it becomes much more costly to do it. So to me, that's how I would sort of frame their perspective. They'd be happy with some sort of American presence.
You know, back in 2003, 2004, there was a serious debate in India about deploying troops in Iraq, even if these were in the Kurdish areas where there was no insurgency and so on. And obviously that idea was shot down quite effectively. But I think Afghanistan is different. Afghanistan, India's impinges quite directly on India's interests. And
so is Sri Lanka different, right? A lot of times whenever this idea of Indian troops sent elsewhere, people will just say, oh, but Sri Lankan experience. But it's quite different. The situation there was different. The people involved were different. The LTT at that time was not specifically against India. So there are factors which are different.
I just want to, so the point that you were talking about, right, sending, making sure that the fighting is focused on the Durandan as opposed to, that was what I was trying to sort of obliquely get at when I was saying, right, you know, when these different factions come into play in the government eventually, they're already, like you said, already there, the Taliban is there, but the factions will be competing. And therefore, rather than sort of, while you might be supporting one part of it, which is the Afghan government or the forces that you described, it's also good to make sure that these factions keep fighting, so that their energies remain focused over there, as opposed to the Haqqani sort of turning here, or the Pakistani sort of being able to leverage them to turn towards India. A containable level of discord to be sown in that might be beneficial for India. That was the point that I was making. Without even troops being committed, but a reasonable amount of discord within that administration might not be the worst thing for India.
Yeah, I think that is going to happen regardless of what India does or not, right? Because, yeah, there will be some of the factions in Taliban which are going to be against the Afghanistan's idea. Yeah. And also remember the Taliban, there are not many takers for the Taliban's idea, even in Afghanistan. Yeah. Right? It's the youngest country in the world. Most people are really young. They don't even recall the Taliban of that time. They weren't born by then. They are now used to mobile phones. They are used to a new way of living. So there are going to be these fractions, and then there are going to be warlords as well. They are going to see a sign that maybe we need to beef up our own arms because Taliban has come in. So all those things are going to play out regardless of what India does. But we have to look at our interests also.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that Afghan society of 2020 is very different from the one in 2001, and the strategic situation is also very different. So anyway, thank you Pranay, and thank you Manoj, and thank you for joining us on All Things Policy.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.